This podcast is intended for investment professionals only.
Take a taxi, turn on the TV or pay a bill, and the impact of technology over the past decade is obvious. But as anyone who has tried to collect a repeat prescription can tell you, the healthcare sector sometimes seems stuck in the past. I'm Harry Brooks, content manager for ETFs at LGIM, and today I'm talking to senior ETF investment specialist, Ord Martin, about how technology could revolutionise healthcare. We're having this discussion just a few weeks after our Global Thematics Forum event in London, where some of the technology sector's brightest minds gathered to discuss the most promising areas of research. Ord, I open this podcast by contrasting the healthcare sector with others that seem to have made more use of technology. Was that characterization fair?
Hello, Harry. Yes, indeed. So healthcare is about a decade behind industries such as media and communications when it comes to its digitalization. And really, digitalization efficiency gains are about on a par with the construction and mining sectors. So despite seeing big investments in the healthcare industry, so it's about 20% of US GDP, for example, being really spent on healthcare, and about 10% globally, healthcare remains behind. But this is changing, and this has been changing over the past decade. So if you take the example of 2012, the level of venture capital funding in the sector was around $7 to $8 billion. But last year, we saw about $30 billion in flow into the sector. So there's really a big improvement when it comes to really spending money in the healthcare industry to try and improve it and digitalize it. This money and the advances it funds could have a profound impact on how we diagnose and treat patients. And this is really what we want to focus on today, I guess.
Okay, let's start by talking about diagnosis. What are some of the key challenges for healthcare professionals today, and how could technology help them?
So healthcare records were actually designed for billing first, so not for diagnosis. So that means that the systems are not joined up for the healthcare professionals. So if we think about a doctor, when we go to them and describe our symptoms, they often don't have the full picture in our record. And so that could lead to misdiagnosis or also late diagnosis when it comes to, you know, looking at some disease. And let's take the example of dementia here. So for dementia patients, diagnosis typically take around 2 years, which, you know, is a late diagnosis at the end of the day. And this is only because the main symptoms that are described the first 2 years are really mistaken with old age effects, ultimately. But when you think about artificial intelligence and natural language processing, this can really renew medical records and how we look at them today. It can flag, you know, potentially relevant medical events in a patient's past. So this is something that we don't have at the moment that could be really changing the aspect of diagnosis. But also there's, you know, another really big challenge for healthcare professionals. If you take the example of men and women, we often don't describe our symptoms the same way, and we do not have the textbook. So we will need the help of AI or natural language processing to really come between the way that we describe our symptoms and the way that the doctors can take those symptoms away and basically provide a diagnosis.
I understand that AI could also play a role in helping doctors diagnose based on medical imaging techniques.
Absolutely. So AI can help doctors to detect cancers with the highest rate of accuracy, rather than only relying on human interpretation. And this is really an example of, you know, human and computer collaboration rather than only, you know, relying on artificial intelligence or only the doctor. It's really to help a doctor flagging perhaps some of the items that they might not have seen. And this collaboration could help for early diagnosis.
As well as making better use of medical information that we've already got, could technology give us new data to help enable better diagnoses?
Yes, here it's really genomics that is a game changer. So human genome analysis now costs about $1,000 and will fall fast. This cost will fall fast. It allows us to pick up on, you know, genetic traces of disease very early. For example, you can take colon cancer. So instead of having a very invasive procedure to check, you're able to check this faster with perhaps, you know, just a blood test, and also at a very earlier stage of development of that cancer. Another good example is lung cancer. So in the future, we might be able to detect lung cancer with a nasal swab. So very much so like we had to detect, you know, a COVID symptom or a COVID diagnosis, we would be able to do the same for lung cancer. It would be a big game changer. Sensors also have a very big potential here. So, you know, for example, a modern car has hundreds, but the idea of using sensors for the human body is still quite new. But we're seeing this in cardiology. So devices that can be fitted into people who have, you know, have had minor strokes, it gathers data and it helps diagnose possible arrhythmia, for example. And 100,000 of these are now fitted to patients each year in the UK alone.
So we've talked a bit about the role of technology in diagnosis now. How about moving on to treatment for illness? What are some of the most exciting developments in your view in this area? And secondly, are there any particular conditions where you think technology could significantly improve the treatment options that are available to patients?
A big structural issue facing the pharmaceutical industry is, you know, in the development of a new medicine for neurological conditions, for example, it becomes prohibitively expensive. So it can cost anywhere from $1 billion to $10 billion, because for every success, there are about 100 failures. And so one of the reasons for that high failure rate, if you think about it, is candidate drug that has an adverse effect, even on a very small portion of patients, this won't be approved for broader use. And we spoke about it, genomics earlier, and here genomics could again change the game and identify treatments that are suitable for individual patients, because what might work for one patient might not work for the other. So this is really where the targeted type of treatment comes into place very efficiently. But another part of the market that is, you know, very exciting is robotics. So today there's around 7,000 medical robots that perceive surgeries on patients that are around, you know, globally. And we can expect this number to rise over the coming years, because these are less invasive surgeries. You know, it's a very much shorter recovery as well for the patients. But looking at treatments, and you know, taking one specific example, which is epilepsy. When you think about epilepsy, for a lot of patients, unfortunately, the treatment as a drug doesn't function anymore. And we hear about this a lot when it comes to medicines. You know, people that take medicines for a long time, and then these are no longer efficient, they're no longer working. And what is the option for an epilepsy patient is really to go to the hospital for 2 weeks and have, you know, the brain, part of the brain being cut out, to see what part of the brain exactly triggers the seizures with the help of sensors. But this is a very, you know, very hard surgery on the patients. It takes more than 2 weeks. It's very uncomfortable staying in the hospital for such a long time. And, you know, in the case that you're not able to catch the seizure, or in the case that the seizure starts from a, you know, very needed part of the brain, let's say, you know, the part that makes your legs move, for example, you cannot go ahead and, you know, go under procedure for an intervention, because this is not a part of the nerve system that you want to touch, basically. And in order to avoid that, something that could be groundbreaking are implants. So implants could capture the information needed without the need for this long hospital stay. You could have an implant, stay at home, have the information be recorded and sent to the NHS, to your hospital, and then you could see whether an intervention would be possible or not. I believe these are the very much groundbreaking things that we're looking at when it comes to healthcare technologies.
That sounds truly transformative, amazing, amazing innovation there. I'd like to finish, if I can, by taking a step back really and asking how do you think technology can change how we approach medicine and healthcare more generally at a high level? What fundamental changes do you see on the horizon?
So the first thing I would say is, you know, spendings on chronic conditions versus early diagnosis. So currently we're really treating people that are already quite ill, and we're trying to move away from that and go to early diagnosis and also avoiding these people to be very ill in the first place. We're seeing this shift from spending of about 80% of available spending on treating those chronic diseases to early diagnosis. And this enables much more efficient type of treatments. And, you know, it's really about enabling people to spend more of their life in good health rather than in treatment, which is what we're seeing today. And where treatment is needed, making it quicker, safer, is less invasive, is really the key to those healthcare technologies.
Thanks, Aud, so much for talking to me today. It's an absolutely fascinating topic. And thanks, everyone, for listening.
As a reminder, this podcast is intended for investment professionals only and shouldn't be shared with a non-professional audience. This podcast should not be taken as an invitation to deal in legal and general investments. Any views expressed during this recording belong to the individuals and are based on market conditions at the time of the recording and do not reflect the views of legal and general investment management. Forward-looking statements are, by their nature, subject to significant risks and uncertainties, and are based on internal forecasts and assumptions and should not be relied upon. Where individual stocks are mentioned, these do not constitute a recommendation to buy or sell any security and are for illustrative purposes only. Legal & General Investment Management Limited is authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. For full terms and conditions, please visit our website. To find more content, you can check us out on Twitter, LinkedIn, and our website. Copyright 2022. Legal & General Investment Management Limited. All rights reserved. No part of this publication may be reproduced or transmitted in any form or by any means, including photocopying and recording, without the written permission of the publishers. This material is issued by Legal & General Investment Management Asia Limited, the licensed corporation BBB 488, regulated by the Hong Kong Securities and Futures Commission, for professional investors only.